You're very welcome back to Morning Ireland. Well, to some, they're vital to investment in Ireland's economy. To others, they're an unacceptable contributor to carbon emissions and a drain on the country's energy supply. Data centres have been a contentious topic, not least between the different parties in the previous government. And the state has for some time sought to identify a policy that meets conflicting demands. This morning, the Commission for Energy Regulation proposes a new policy, which it says will provide clarity for the sector. It seeks to lessen the pressure on the national grid by requiring data centres to build their own plants to generate and store electricity either on site or nearby. But while they'll be required to make public their carbon emissions, there's no requirement for the plants to run on renewables. Well, to talk us through these proposals is Dr. Tania Harrington, Commissioner at the Commission for Regulation of Utilities. Dr. Harrington, thanks very much for coming in to us today. There has been what's been described widely as a de facto moratorium on building new data centres for some time now, particularly in Dublin, because of applications being rejected. Does this document give the go-ahead, really, to data centre expansion? And if so, what scale of expansion could we expect?
Thank you and good morning. The Commission is delighted to bring forward its draft decision on data centres. I suppose the quick highlights for you are that, as you have stated, it requires on-site or proximate generation and or storage that will match its demand. It will be the data centres will be required to participate in the market. They will be required to report on their emissions and their use of renewable energy. And we're also giving direction to the system operators, those that mind our grid, ESBN and AirGrid, to collate the data that shows where the grid is constrained both today and on a look forward basis, so that those that are investing will have a clear picture of where they can easily connect to the system or where there are constraints. I think this decision, we're trying to strike a balance between a number of competing demands and issues. It's important that we ensure the security of supply of the system and the stability of the network while trying to attain our emissions targets. You asked a specific question there about expansion. I suppose what we have here is we're providing clarity to the sector on how it can connect to the grid over the coming years.
Okay, and the data centres will have to, under this policy, provide their own storage capacity either nearby or on site. What impact do you think that might have on local economies, and how might it contribute to the energy supply locally?
So storage is just one of many technologies that the developers can choose to array, if you like, on their sites. The difference with this decision is that we're allowing them to do it both on their geographic bounded site, but also or proximate to the data centre. Energy storage comes in different formats, but it allows, in some instances, modular scaling, if you like, to ramp up with the demand of the data centre. And I think that's a very positive new feature.
And because they will be on site or nearby, doesn't that mean they'll be more likely to run on oil or gas rather than wind or solar, which would need a lot more space? And as Caroline O'Doherty is pointing out in today's Independent, this could result in an increased amount of gas and oil generated electricity at a time when government policy actually requires fossil fuel usage to fall.
Yeah, so I think this policy, our draft decision is very much working towards the achievement of government's twin objectives of decarbonisation and digitalisation. And what we're doing here is trying to provide a clear set of signals for the investors to come into this market. It is a matter for the data centres themselves to choose how they fuel and power themselves. And that is about what we are doing is we're requiring them to report on not only their emissions from the site, but also their use of renewable energy. And furthermore, we're also requiring them to participate in the market. And what does that mean? That means that the most efficient plant, when you participate in the market, the cleanest plant gets dispatched first. So there's a number of incentives there to try and incentivize the data centers who are constructing to do it in the greenest fashion possible.
But there are no requirements here for the plants to run on renewables whatsoever. Why not?
So what we have done is we have considered that, and that is a matter. So in terms of it's a matter for the data centres themselves to decide how they power themselves.
And just as recently as November, the Climate Change Performance Index internationally, it backed calls from environmental groups for a moratorium on the building of data centres until it said there is enough wind and solar energy to meet the sector's massive energy demand. So why not hold out until the renewable sector was able to keep up with demand, as many climate activists and environmental groups have recommended?
Yes, I understand those concerns. I think that it's important to say that our climate objectives are very ambitious, and we are fast developing and working to develop an abundant renewable source of renewable energy off the west coast of Ireland and bring that onshore. That will take some time because we have to build the infrastructure to do that, which is why investment in grid is so important. And I think so when we're progressing that workflow to bring in both onshore and the grid reinforcement supports, that will leave us in a situation where we have a greater abundance of renewable energy. What this decision does is it tries to navigate the path and strike a balance at a point where we need to maintain the security of the system, continue to try to meet our emissions targets, and ensure that there's a continued investment in what is the enabling infrastructure for a sort of a knowledge-rich economy.
And to what extent do these proposals take into account the government's planned emission cuts?
So what we have done is we have looked at a connection policy to the grid. And so our role as an independent economic regulator is to set the parameters for how people can connect into the grid system. It is then a matter for those data centres to make their applications to the system operators, ESBN and Airgrid, where they want to connect, and they will then adjudicate on that application. What we're very supportive of is the state-led approach. So this, we've had a plan-led approach, a sort of developer-led approach to date. The government has signalled in the Programme for Government that they will be creating a new sort of policy around data centres and the next generation of data centres.
And this requirement that companies or data centres would have to report on their carbon emissions, yeah. Has the tech sector been consulted on that, or what has there been any resistance to it?
So we have engaged heavily with stakeholders over a number of months now. We've had a number of workshops and engagements, and we have listened very carefully. This is a draft decision, and so it's out for public consultation for 6 weeks, and we would very much look forward to receiving the feedback from industry and then digesting all of that together. I would say just an observe.
But most of industry would have already contributed.
They would have. They would have been engaged heavily, and actually a lot of these investors are very proud of their ESG commitments. So this would just bring transparency to what they are doing and offer the leaders the chance to lead in that space.
Okay. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Tanya Harrington of the Commission for Regulation of Utilities.